the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. And now, words newscasters coyly refuse to say.
George was popping the tequilas. Next thing you know, the A word is flying.
The A word.
The B word is out there.
The B word.
He called her the C word.
The C word.
The D word.
The E word. Excommunicated.
The F word.
The G word.
I want to see a president that doesn't just say the H word.
The I word.
The J word.
The K word.
The L word.
The M word.
The N word.
The N word.
The N word. As in N word mountain.
The O word.
The P word.
The Q word.
Now we're talking about the R word.
The R word.
The S word.
The T word.
It's the old U word.
What's the V word?
Visibility.
The W word.
All words that start with X.
The Y word.
The so-called Z word.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and you are at JC on the Line. .com. It'll be a miracle if I get through this podcast without a power failure. We are on the verge of having a significant thunderstorm with severe weather, power outages, trees down, lines down, and stuff like that here in the Tampa area today. You guys have nothing to worry about. In fact, what a great couple of days coming up over the weekend after this slop moves out of here today. 45 tonight. It's a little cold for this time of year. But then look at this. Sunny tomorrow, 68. Saturday, sunny, 80. Sunday, 85. That ain't bad. Well, we just got word that OJ checked out. He was 76. He had cancer. I didn't know anybody that knew he was sick. Sick in the fucking head, maybe, but that's about it. You hate to see anybody lose their life, but I ain't crying any tears for this guy. OJ was a bad dude. He's a bad, bad dude. And this is a very interesting country, because here you got a guy who everybody on earth, except the jury, I even think the jury probably knew he did it, but they just simply were not going to convict him. Some of the jurors, I remember reading some stuff going, hey, we decided at the very beginning of this thing that they were not going to get a conviction on our guy, OJ. Did he do it? I don't know, maybe he did, but we're not convicting him. This is our way of getting back at the man, the white man, for all of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of cases of police brutality over our lifetimes and all the civil rights stuff and everything like that. And it's like, no, you're not getting OJ. We're not letting you get him. Like I said, this is an interesting country. But it is interesting in that America overall believed that he chopped the heads off of two people, but somehow the whole thing turned into a joke. And I don't know, maybe this was our way of coping with something like this by just making jokes about it. And then, you know, Leno had the dancing Itos on the Tonight Show, and everybody was making jokes. I was. Everybody was. In fact, I think we need to go to JC's archives today.
Let me get to my house.
Okay, we're going
to
do that.
I swear to you, I'll give you what? I'll give you my whole body.
Okay.
I just need to get to my house.
Okay.
We're
going to do that. Just throw the gun out the window.
I can't do that.
We're not going to bother you. We're going to let you go up there. Just throw it out the window. Please, you're scaring everybody. OJ, you there?
This is for me. This is not to keep you guys away from me. This
I know
is for
that.
Me.
Nobody's going to hurt
this
you.
This is for me.
Okay, it's for you. I know that, but do it
this
for you.
This is for me, for me.
I
That's
know
all.
That. I know that, but do it for the kids, too, will you?
No.
Think of your kids.
No.
Please, just toss it out. You're scaring everybody, man.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
I know you're not going to hurt anybody.
I need
but
it for me.
I know you're not,
gonna,
man.
I'm just going to go with me.
Please, you're scaring everybody, though. You're scared.
Just tell them I'm all sorry. You can tell them later on today and tomorrow that I was sorry and that I'm sorry that I did this to the police department.
Listen, I think you should tell them yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have to tell your kids that. Your kids need you.
I've already said goodbye to my kids.
Listen, no, we're not going to say goodbye to your kids. You're going to see them again. You want to see them again. Please, you're scaring us. You're scaring them. Please, man.
Hey, you've been a good guy, too, man. Let
Thanks,
I know you're doing your job. You went
I appreciate
honest with me
that.
Right from the beginning. Just saying you're doing your job.
Listen.
I know you do a good job.
Okay, thank you. But there's a lot of people that love you. Don't throw it all away. Don't throw it all away.
I can't take this.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You got your whole family out here.
I can't.
They love you, man. Don't throw this away. Don't do this. They love you. Don't do it, OJ. It's going to work itself out. It's going to work. It's going to work. You're listening to me. I know you, and you're thinking about your kids right now, aren't you? Aren't you? They're thinking about you. They're thinking about you. So is your mother. Your mother loves you. Everybody loves you. Don't do this. I know you're thinking.
Oh.
Man, just throw it out the window. And nobody's going to get hurt.
I'm the only one that deserves.
No, you don't deserve
I'm gonna
that.
Get hurt.
You do not deserve to get hurt. You do not deserve to get hurt. Don't do this.
All I did was love Nicole. All I did was love her.
I understand.
I love everybody. I tried to show everybody my whole life that I love everybody.
We know that. And everybody loves you. Especially your family, your mother, your kids, all your friends, AC. Everybody does. Don't do this. Just put it down or throw it out the window. And this will all go away. It's going to be a lot better tomorrow, believe me. Please. We'll let you go up to the house, but we need you to throw that out the window.
Yeah.
We'll let you go up there, but we need you to throw the gun out the window. Please.
They see it taken from me when I get home.
What? If you throw it out the window, they're not going to have to do that. Okay? Hello? OJ, you still there? Yeah, Jay, it's Tom again. Hey, hang it up. Hey, it's going to be better tomorrow. Get rid of the gun. Toss it, please. Too many people love you, man. Don't give it all up. Don't hurt everybody. You're going to hurt everybody.
I'm just going to leave.
No, don't.
I'm going to go with Nicole. That's all I'm going to do. That's all
I'm
trying to do.
Think about everybody else, all right?
I couldn't do it on a freeway. I couldn't do it in a field. I want to do it at a grave. I want to do it at my house.
You're not going to do anything. Too many people love you. Your kids, your mother, your friends, AC, everybody. You got the whole world. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away, man. Come on. OJ? Hello. Lost him again. OJ, it's Tom again. How you doing?
You just tell them at my house. I know they're all over the place with guns.
They're not going to do
it. Let them know I'm not coming there to hurt any of them.
Okay, they know that. And they don't want to hurt you. You going to go to the house?
That's why I told you we weren't. You know, you just let them all know. You let the police know. You let them all know. I wasn't running.
I know you weren't running. I know you weren't running.
I was trying to go to Nicole's grave.
I know you weren't running.
Now I can.
I know you weren't, man, but you got everybody scared.
Yeah.
You got us all scared with a gun, man.
And I'm sorry I made the police look bad by not showing up.
Hey, we don't care. That's not a problem. You know what the important thing is here? Is that you don't hurt everybody and break their hearts.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
You're going to break somebody's heart is what you're going to do.
If I hurt somebody, I'm not going to hurt
anybody. And I'm talking your mother and I'm talking your kids. Don't do this. Just toss it, man. Come on.
Everything's going to be... been around me even the few days you've been around me, and you know I'm not gonna
I know
hurt
you
anybody.
That's where you're right. I do know, and you're better than that. You're not gonna do this.
I've been watching OJ Simpson all the live long day. I will never understand why he didn't throw that glove away. I don't know if he is guilty, but one thing's plain by far. He should sell his Ford Bronco and buy a faster car. There's the OJ portion of the album.
You know, we also learned that empirical evidence doesn't seem to matter anymore. The sea of blood on the killer's hands and Bronco was so deep that it had its own undertow. The evidence was more overwhelming than a New York City taxi in August with all the windows shut. And how did Team OJ combat that K2-sized mound of proof? Well, their defense strategy involved more smoke and mirrors than a tire fire in a brothel. Well, you know something? They didn't convince me, because even if you martinize away all the blood, you're still left with a womanizing, wife-beating, egotistical, drug-using, possessive bully. And just for that, I think he should be locked away tighter than Gordon Elliott's cummerbund at the 37th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards. I blame... You know, I blame a lot of what happened at the trial on Lance Ito. I mean, a judge is supposed to control a trial, but Ito had about as much command of the room as Kathy Lee Gifford singing You Light Up My Life at the Apollo Theater, all right? Oh, well, it's gone. Ito's gone. There's a new ringmaster now. The circus has died down, but not completely pulled out of the station. O.J. Simpson is currently embroiled in a wrongful death civil suit, which could eat up whatever money he's got left from the last trial and his jackals for the defense didn't make off with. The videotape he was hawking to help pay his legal fees netted about as much as the Philly cheesesteak concession at a Katie Lang concert. His lame attempts at reviving his flagging career and his destroyed credibility are as transparent as a Vargas girl's nightgown. So what's an O.J. to do? Hey, that book he wrote where he answered people's questions did pretty well. Maybe he could write an advice column called Dear Stabby, you know? You know, at this point, the fact is it just doesn't seem to matter anymore to anyone that O.J. did it. It's no big deal. It's become just another punchline. He plotted it. He planned it. He worked out all the timing, his escape route, his alibi. And the only unscheduled stumbling blocks he had to improvise around were Cato wanting to go to talk to the big clown and Ron Goldman wanting not to die. But like he once did with linebackers that stood between him and the end zone, O.J. got by them. In the words of the NFL Films announcer, on that warm June day, a fierce warrior had a mission. That warrior was a Renthal James Simpson, a man possessed, a man who was not to be denied. He pulled a fancy stutter step on Kalo, then he squared his shoulders and he ran right over Ron Goldman. Penalty flags were thrown, but upon further review, the referees in black and white striped shirts actually turned out to be referees in black shirts and referees in white shirts. I freely admit to feeling cheated that O.J. Simpson didn't get life for his crimes, that he probably will never be brought to his arthritic knees. I assuage my anger by reassuring myself that he will never again elicit the respect and admiration of reasonable people, that he'll always be whispered about like some latter-day Hester Prynne wearing an M instead of an A, and that he will always be surrounded by backslappers, sycophants, ass-kissing golfing buddies. Hey, you know what, folks? I think he did get life. Yeah, he did. You're our bitch now, OJ. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
From the KTLY newsroom, this is O.J. Today. With anchorpersons Bill McDonald and Casey Nagamura. Fritz Connolly with O.J. Weather. O.J. science editor Earl Agus. O.J. consumer reporter Betty Nash with how to stretch your O.J. dollar. Plus legal experts Edward Bennett, Susan Carton, Alan Fuchs, Craig Shipley, and T.J. Now, here's anchorperson Bill McDonald.
Good afternoon, and welcome to this, the final edition of O.J. Today. Starting Monday, this time slot will be filled by Fantasy Island.
Well, O.J. Simpson's lawyers stopped feuding this week, finally. The Dream Team, F. Lee Bailey and Robert Shapiro, were able to put aside their differences and express their admiration for each other after O.J. threatened to cut their heads off. It was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, "Hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know." Well, let's get to O.J. O.J. Simpson's lawyers say they don't want the families of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman in the courtroom during the trial. They're afraid the presence of the family members will just remind O.J. of how much more killing he still has to do. Well, in a sworn deposition this week, O.J. Simpson claimed that he never, ever beat, choked, or hit his ex-wife with a closed or open fist. Luckily for O.J., lawyers forgot to ask if he'd ever cut her head off.
The O.J. Simpson trial is getting ready to wrap up their case. They said that the defense will rest its case maybe a week, 2 weeks. And O.J. Simpson himself is very, very confident now that he's going to be acquitted. In fact, earlier today in the courtroom, he asked Judge Lance Ito, "When the hell do I get my bloody gloves back?"
In a surprise move, O.J. Simpson has offered to give an interview to CNN with, quote, absolutely no ground rules. But interviewers Greta Van Susteren and Roger Cossack have asked for one. Don't kill us. Judge Ito was interviewed this week by a local TV station in Los Angeles. Asked by the interviewer if it was appropriate for a supposedly impartial judge to be on TV with his case still pending, Ito said, "Maybe not, but how appropriate is it to kill your ex-wife?" In his book, O.J. Simpson says, that he would have taken a bullet or stood in front of a train for Nicole. Man, I'm going to tell you, that is some bad luck when the one guy who would have died for you kills you. That's probably... In an effort to raise money for his enormous legal bills, O.J. Simpson this week began marketing a video which attempts to prove his innocence. Should the tape not sell, Simpson has a backup idea, his very own video of the actual murders themselves.
At the very end of the trial, he said, I hope people realize that I did not, would not, and could not have committed this crime. And I think it's about time that more acquitted criminals quote Dr. Seuss when they're released from jail.
Did you kill your lovely wife? Did you do it with a knife? I did not kill my lovely wife. I would not, could not end her life. Did you drop a bloody glove? Did you leave a trail of blood? I did not drop a bloody glove. I would not, could not kill a dove. I would not kill that wife of mine unless that bitch got out of line. Unless that bitch got out of line, what's coming from that mouth of mine? My lawyer took my final dime. I guess I did commit this crime.
All right.
OJ, oh, Dr. Seuss. Oh. But now he's in hot pursuit of the real killers. He's in hot pursuit of the real killers. Apparently the real killers are millionaires who hang out at high-priced golfing resorts.
Well, that Norm MacDonald stuff is funny. And that cost him his job because the guy who was running NBC at the time called downstairs and said, look, OJ is a good friend of mine, and I want your guy, Norm MacDonald, down there on Weekend Update. I want him to knock it off. And Norm just said, fuck you. I don't care what you're the president of. And he just went ahead and did it, and eventually Norm got pinched. The one that I always scratched my head about was Faye Resnick. And again, hearing names like Kato Kaelin and just some of those other people that you heard just a moment ago. But Faye Resnick. Faye Resnick was an attractive woman of color. I don't know if she was African-American. She was somewhere maybe in the middle a little bit. Very, very attractive woman. And she ended up doing this big spread in Playboy. Looked great, by the way. But how interesting is it that somebody somewhere along the line said, oh, her best friend got her head cut off by her ex-husband. I think I'd like to see her naked. Like I said, we're living in a strange country. All right, there will continue to be fallout from this story. We don't do a podcast on Friday, so by the time we reconvene on Monday, we'll probably know a lot more. But if you're like me, you're thinking to yourself, ooh, what a terrible break. Now, who's going to look for the real killers? Well, what do you think? Are the Cardinals going to get the message finally? The TV ratings are down. The attendance is down. We're down about 3,000 people a game so far. And again, it's early in the season, so weather was not great yesterday. That's for damn sure. Couldn't even believe they got that whole game in yesterday. And there's a lot of other stuff going on. You got the Battle Hawks now. You got the Blues hanging on for dear life. You had a soccer game the other day. Well, excuse me, a soccer match. But, you know, when the TV ratings are down and the attendance is down and you're coming off a last place finish, could this be Cardinal fans finally drawing the line in the sand going, look, we will not accept this. Even with the signing of Sonny Gray, and I think this guy is going to have a profound impact on this team and on obviously in the starting rotation. But even with that, the perception by people is this family that owns the Cardinals, the DeWitts, they're only interested in putting a team out there on the field that is good enough to keep putting butts in the seats. We're not going to win anything. Probably be one and out in the playoffs again. Yachty is gone. Wainwright is gone. Pujols is gone. Every sports team needs stars, whether it is Yachty or Wainwright or McGuire or Lou Brock. You need stars, and right now, I'm not sure this team has any. You need stars that electrify people and make people want to go buy the jersey with the name on it and put it on and then buy a ticket and wear it to the baseball game. And we just don't have a lot of guys like that right now. Goldschmidt is so, and I have very mixed emotions about saying this, but he's dull. He's just not an electrifying player. He is a fantastic baseball player, and I would grab him in any draft and put him on my team in a heartbeat, but he's just not flashy. Arenado coming off a rotten year for him. Plus, both of these guys are starting to get a little old. Remember when Todd Worrell was our closer and everybody was at the ball games? You saw all these Worrell jerseys. Ryan Helsley's throwing 101, 102 miles an hour, but I don't see anybody wearing the jersey. You got rookies, and I think both of them are are incredible, but, you know, they're new. Dylan Carlson is hurt. Tommy Edman is hurt. I'm hearing rumblings for the first time, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily what's going to happen or that it's 100% true, because I question the validity of the source. I'm just saying that don't be surprised if it doesn't eventually come out that Tommy Edman could conceivably be out for the season. So, you know, for this team, I think there's more of a problem than the team and the organization understands. Because not only are we coming off a rotten year, we're coming off a public relations nightmare where the fans are starting to turn on the DeWitts. You don't really have enough. I won't say we don't have any. I'm just saying we don't have enough, you know, really big stars. The kind of stars that I was just talking about. Now you throw in increased competition for other things that are going on sports-wise or entertainment-wise. The ticket prices aren't exactly coming down. The concession stand prices aren't exactly coming down. Things are still a little screwy in the aftermath of the pandemic, and maybe the fans are finally saying, we're not buying tickets until you put a really good, electrifying, exciting team out on the field. And right now, this ain't it. And it's more than just a win-loss record. It's so much more complicated than that. How about this guy pitching against the Cardinals? Steven Matz will be on the mound for the Redbirds on Friday night in Arizona. The Diamondbacks are putting a pitcher out there by the name of Brandon, and then the last name is spelled P-F-A-A-D-T. I'm giving you that again. Brandon and then P-F-A-A-D-T. How the hell are you supposed to pronounce that? What's his name? And pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Brandon. I don't know. Correction, Brandon. I don't know. By now, you've heard Aerosmith and the Black Crowes coming to the Enterprise Center on October 12th. The announcement made yesterday. Those tickets going on sale here very, very soon. That's probably going to be it for Aerosmith. It's going to be probably it for a lot of bands over the course of the next handful of years. Well, somebody sent me this yesterday. Yeah, here it is. Ringo Starr, 83. Bob Dylan, 82. Paul Simon, 82. Brian Wilson, Beach Boys, 81. Paul McCartney, 81. Roger Waters, 80. Keith Richards, 80. Steve Miller, 80. George Benson, 80. Jagger, 80. Peter Cetera of Chicago, 79. Roger Daltrey, 79. Rod Stewart, 79. Robert Lamb of Chicago, 79. Neil Young, 78. John Fogerty, 78. Debbie Harry, 78. Eric Clapton, 78. Robbie Krieger of The Doors, 78. Pete Townsend, 78. Joe Walsh, 76. Steve Howe of Yes, 76. Sammy Hagar, 76. Brian May of Queen, 76. Don Henley, 76. Carlos Santana, 76. Elton John, 76. Donald Fagen, 76. Ian Anderson, Jethro Tull, 76. This is not going to be pleasant. It's my 40th anniversary, and we're playing back highlights here on the podcast and on the radio show every morning at 101.5 St. Louis, still 101.7 West and beyond, where we stream at kwolf.com and where Smash takes over the afternoon show starting on Monday. He'll be on from 4 to 7 every day. So we got a pretty kick-ass lineup. I'm doing the morning show. You got Michelle in the middle of the day, Katie in the early afternoon, Smash mopping it up from 4 to 7 every day, plus rock and Americana, and not the same fucking songs over and over and over again. We got the largest music library in all of St. Louis, and we play it. You will regularly hear songs that you haven't heard in a long time, and they're songs that you like. We know you like them, but for some reason, these tight-listed corporate radio stations just play the same 350 songs over and over and over again, and then they wonder, and then they wonder. And as I've frequently said over the years, I always told you how this business is run by idiots and morons, and people thought I was just doing it to be funny, and I was, but I was also serious about it. You can be funny and serious at the same time, and I was, because just look at what has happened. You had all these great radio stations and these great eccentric, you know, singularly appealing rock and roll radio DJs that were in some cases, you know, I mean, it was bordering on rock star status. And it was exciting. Every once in a while you'd hear some song, you're like, whoa, what is that? Whether it's an old song you forgot about or didn't know about, or maybe a new song. There's just hardly any of that around anymore. And within the industry, everybody's saying the same thing. The place to be right now, if you want to be in radio, is in independent radio, which is what we are on K-Wolf. But, you know, the miserable ineptitude of people who are in charge of radio stations is not limited to FM rock and roll radio. The ratings came out this week, came out on Tuesday, and KMOX is now down to 13th place in the market. There's only 154,000 people listening to that station right now. 154,000. You know, it was only a handful of years ago that that number was like 500,000, 600,000, 700,000. And now they're down to about 150. I don't know. Every time I say something or post something, I get people line up to get into my face and tell me how I don't know what I'm talking about. It seems to me that if you're paying attention, I know what I'm talking about more than even I thought I did. Meanwhile, Donald Trump doing everything he can think of to try to get on a having to be in this trial starting Monday. They start jury selection, keeps filing motions, and the judges, in some cases, even the ones that he himself appointed, are like, I can't do that. How about this knucklehead Morgan Wallen, this country guy? He just keeps getting in trouble with the police, and not for circumstantial things. He seems to be going out of his way to get arrested. He was staying in some hotel, was like on the sixth floor or something, and just decided to throw a chair out the window. And this is a metal chair. I don't know if he threw it through the glass or threw it through an open sliding door. I don't know. All I know is a chair comes down from six stories and hits somebody, and you're in a peck of trouble. And this Morgan Wallen is, as a matter of fact, the experts, the legal guys are saying, he probably won't get a long sentence, but they think he's going to do jail time on this. And now a video from 2019 shows Morgan Wallen challenging a guy in a bar to a headbutting contest. Guy's not all there. Jackie Robinson signed his first contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers on this date 77 years ago in 1947, or as they handled it on All in the Family.
Yeah, I bet you've seen a lot of the great ones, huh?
Yeah, seen them all. Ruth, Gary, Hubble, all of them, way before your time, of course. Yeah, the game's changed a lot since them days.
I mean, live ball and...
Oh, live ball, the expansion clubs. Then, of course, the biggest change of all, 1947.
1947?
Yeah, that was the year they let Jackie Robinson into the majors. Changed the whole complexion of the game. Four ways to one.
What do you mean by that?
I think we're about ready for the duck now.
Wait a second. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean it threw the whole game out of balance, letting Robinson in.
What are you saying, that the inferior black race should not be given a chance alongside the superior whites?
Hold it, Mr. Liberal Meathead. I never said nothing about your inferior black race. You just let me finish.
Daddy!
Just the opposite of you let me finish. All I'm saying is your coloreds, as is well known, they run faster, they jump higher, they don't bruise so easy. And then because of their, jungle heritage, they see better. It's great for night games.
You know something, Mr. Bunker? At first I thought I misjudged you. And I was right. I did misjudge you. You're a lot more ignorant than I thought.
And to wrap things up today on the J.C. Corcoran podcast, two clips I'm going to play for you that we played on the radio show this morning. When you're a kid, maybe in high school, college, and you're living on the southwest side of Chicago, two blocks from Midway Airport, and you have dreams of getting into the broadcast industry and maybe something show business related in terms of coverage, even in your wildest dreams, you never think that you're going to find yourself at some point sitting 3 feet away interviewing somebody like Robert De Niro or Albert Brooks or his brother Super Dave Osborne or Jack fucking Lemmon or Harrison Ford or Paul McCartney or somebody like Woody Allen. But that was, in fact, the case. A couple of years back, he did a movie called Everybody Says I Love You. It was a musical. Alan Alda was in this, Drew Barrymore, Edward Norton. Movie was not one of his best, but you still get a chance to sit face-to-face with Woody Allen.
You mentioned before we started talking about your days coming to perform in St. Louis. You got a very good reception back in the 60s. This was, I'm just guessing if my chronology is right, the days when you were performing the monologue about the moose?
That's right. Those were the days I was a stand-up comic. I enjoyed doing that. And the Crystal Palace was one of the great avant-garde nightclubs at the time. There was the Hungry Eye in San Francisco and the Blue Angel in New York, Kelly's in Chicago, and the Crystal Palace was the fourth one of that group. And it was wonderful to be there. You know, I loved the experience playing there. I got to stay in St. Louis, you know, for a month and play. And, you know, you played with these wonderful acts. I had followed Lenny Bruce in there. He had been there just before me. And it was a terrific experience. It was this wonderful avant-garde cultural enclave right there in St. Louis.
We are coming up on the 20th anniversary of the release of Annie Hall. A lot of people watch movies, they enjoy them. This movie has been studied. I remember the opening monologue of Annie Hall was, you talked about having just turned 40. Here we all are, nearly 20 years later. What things come to mind when you think about the release of this movie?
At the time, I didn't think it was going to be as accepted as it was. I thought it would be, you know, another movie of mine. I hoped that it would be a success, as I do with all of them. Some are, some aren't. But, I mean, I had no, you know, it's not even my favorite movie that I've made. I mean, I'm delighted at its success. I won't say I'm not. But it was unexpected, and I think I've made other movies that I think are better than it, and you know, have also done pretty well, but that one had a kind of inexplicable charisma at the time for people. And I say inexplicable because, you know, I don't think it's a bad movie. I'm not saying that. I think it was a good movie. But it tapped into something, you know, that people just emotionally got with.
Well, I'm afraid you peeked into a lot of people's brains, because this was more reflective of chapters of many people's lives, much more so than I think you think. Congratulations on Everyone Says I Love You. Best of luck. Nice to meet you, Woody.
Thank you very much.
Man, was he little. And when I say little, I don't mean necessarily height. I'm just talking about his build. He looked like he weighed about 110 pounds. He was just this waifish little thing. But he signed my VHS copy of Annie Hall. I went away happy. And finally, Johnny Loverboy Amoroso. Now, trying to explain this story is just crazy, too. So when I came to St. Louis in 1984, KC had a softball team, played on the team, and there was a 69-year-old umpire. It was just a really fun-loving guy. Good umpire, by the way. And they used to tease him all the time about, because he used to like the ladies. He was a little Italian guy with a semi-bald head, white hair, but he saw himself as a ladies' man. And we got a kick out of that, and so somebody gave him the nickname Loverboy. So it became Johnny Loverboy Amoroso. And he sort of became our Larry Bud Melman. We could bring him in, and it was just guaranteed laughs. It didn't even matter what the situation was. We knew that he was going to make us laugh. And part of the way that he made us laugh is by these long, convoluted stories that we did our best to try to follow. But he would tell a story, and we'd all look at each other like, huh? Did you leave something out of the story? Because we're all standing here. You're done telling the story. And we're all looking at each other going, I don't know what the fuck you're just talking about. Like the time we just asked him a very basic question. How did you meet your wife?
What I like to say is when I went with my wife in 1942, I lived next door to her and I waited 5 years. She was only 14. I had to wait till she got older.
How old were you at the time, John?
About 20.
20 and she was 14? Who do you think you are, Jerry Lee Lewis?
So anyway, I finally got a date from her. I worked hard to get this date.
Where'd you take her?
To the Columbia Theater.
Did you bring her cans of Johnny Southwest?
This is the story.
Did you do the old popcorn trick?
No, I bought her a pack of gum. So we walked hand to hand. We went to the show, sat in the back row, naturally.
Sat in the back row?
on the first date with a 14-year-old girl?
No, she was older than that. She was 19 when I dated her.
Oh, 19. So yeah, now you're like 30.
30. Yeah. Well, anyway, we walked instead of using my car, and we got to the show.
So which was unusual because it was a drive-in.
Soon the show was over, we started to go. We looked, boy, it's raining like hell. My gosh. She says, how are we going to get home? I said, honey, just stay right here. I'll be right back. I flew out of the show, ran down the 5 blocks, got soaking wet, and I brought the car back, and I gave it to her. She said, honey, you're a great guy.
Oh, attaboy.
All right, what
attaboy.
A man.
Attaboy.
I thought she had left with somebody else.
And she said, no.
And he came back, and she was gone.
Yeah, she was there.
Happy 44th wedding anniversary to you and lover girl.
And she married a war veteran from the World War II, not Civil War.
Wait a minute. This was not the girl you married?
Yeah. I married her, not the Civil War. I don't mean Civil War. World War II.
Wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. Who did the girl that you got at the Columbia Theater that you got all wet for?
Yeah. I married her.
You married her?
Yeah.
But then she married some veteran from Spanish-American War or something?
No. War of 1812?
No. I don't get it.
No. We got married in 1945. I was still in the service.
And then she married somebody from the Crusades.
And believe you me, I was true blue to that woman. I could have had a lot of dates in the Army, but I didn't take them.
And then she was going to marry David, but Goliath came along.
I was
going
to say, when William of Hastings conquered Normandy.
Oh, my God, were those fun days. All right, well, that does it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, April 11th. 2024. We're here every Monday through Thursday at 11 o'clock at jcontheline.com with the podcast and on the radio show every morning at 101.5, 101.7, and streaming at kwolf.com. Have yourself a great weekend if you're leaving us now and not coming back for the radio show tomorrow. We will be back on Monday at 11. Again, this weather forecast looks too good to be true with temperatures in the low to mid 80s Saturday and Sunday and into the first part of next week. That's it. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.